Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little boy named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Thanks for supporting us for the past 100 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page, where you can find out how you can join us for our monthly patron webinar, where we do a deeper dive discussion about all things perimenopause.
The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have Julia Hickman here all the way from New Jersey while her 21-month-old is napping. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Dr. Lisa. Yes, Mondays and a few days of the week, I just rely on her napping so I can get a little more work done. So knock on wood, she still is. Yeah, she's still a pretty good napper. So we're going to hope that she continues napping so we can have a uninterrupted conversation.
Yeah, because I'm excited today. I'll introduce you in a moment, but we're going to be talking about how to squeeze in, you know, some of the self-care, movement, things for ourselves as busy professional women. And Julia is the perfect person to speak to about this because she herself is an entrepreneur, a wife, a mother of two living in New Jersey. She left her corporate career in data analytics to become a stay-at-home parent to her first child, who's now, I think, 6 years old. And she soon realized, wow, time flies, right? And soon realized that this was the ideal time to bring into reality her desire to be an entrepreneur. She started blogging and then became an online fitness and lifestyle coach, helping entrepreneurial and professional women make time for fitness and self-care. After a short break undergoing stressful IVF treatments to have her second child, she decided to create a new business helping entrepreneurs focus on their brilliance by becoming their strategic partner in helping them elegantly launch and manage profitable podcasts that lead to high-ticket programs. Her podcast is called the Fit Femmes Movement, and then you also support people starting their own podcasts. You have quite the experience. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to talk wellness and self-care. Even though no longer it's the business that I'm scaling, I'm such a believer that fitness and wellness and well-being and all that, it really is such a great foundation to have, especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're juggling so many different things. If you don't start with that like foundation of self-care and just loving and learning to move your body in whatever way feels good to you, it's really like that's everything. And then from there, it's like once you have that as a part of your routine, then you can do anything. You really can do anything. So yeah, I'm excited to talk some more about you and to give the mamas who are listening some of my best tips, some of the things that I've helped with that I've used myself, and some of the things that I've helped my past clients to really flourish and really create lifestyles that they love.
Amazing. Before we dive in, can we get a sense of kind of what brought you to where you are now in terms of like what's your fitness and health journey been like? And then, you know, you left the corporate world. What was the catalyst for that?
Yes. Yeah, so great question. So like you said, it's been 7 years now that I left my corporate job. And at the time I was, or, you know, before I ended up leaving, my goal was never to leave my career. I actually really loved what I was doing. I felt really accomplished. I felt like I was moving up in the fields that I was in and had pretty good job satisfaction. But then I got pregnant and I had a scary situation happen where I actually had a kidney infection when I was 20 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. I ended up being in the hospital for a week. 3 of those days I was in the ICU. It was a really, really scary situation. The doctor was like, we can save you for sure, but we're not really sure what's going to happen with the baby. I was really, really stressed out, scared, but optimistic. Actually, now that I think back, the whole time I was never really like in a panic. I think I just had really strong faith that everything was going to be okay. But what the situation sort of led me to was that once I had this baby, I was like, I don't want to leave this baby. So I at first tried to negotiate with my boss, like a half work from home schedule, where a few days a week I would work from home and then the other days I would be in the office. And at first he was like, oh yeah, that sounds fine. And actually at the time, after I had the scary hospital stay with the kidney infection and all, I had to be on bed rest, on modified bed rest. So I worked from home until my maternity leave started. So, I mean, I was like, you know, you guys got to see that I got my work done anyway. So, you know, he was like, okay, that's fine. And then a month before I was supposed to go back, now, mind you, I had already found a nanny and all of that. I find out that, oh, there's a new boss now. And this new boss has different plans.
Oh, geez.
So to make a long story short, I was not allowed to work from home. And so my husband and I looked at each other and we were like, this is not a good situation. This is not what we were expecting. And we made the really tough decision that I would stay home. And for me, it wasn't such a tough decision because I was like, yeah, I didn't want to leave this baby anyway. But, you know, financially speaking and all of that, it becomes scary. And I did some soul searching and I was like, you know what? This gives me, you know, I'm going to have this extra time. This gives me a chance to really think about what I want to do. And at the time, I had already been a personal trainer. I was doing a lot of CrossFit training and worked at a gym. So I said, what if I launch my own thing? And so I did that. So I became my own person, you know, a personal trainer on my own, got my own clients. First, I had local moms coming to train with me at my house. And then from there, I eventually ended up doing an online fitness program. And it was really great because I was also finding it really hard to consistently work out. You know, I was used to going to the gym 5 days a week and doing 45 to an hour long workouts. And especially after the kidney infection and everything where I had to do a lot of resting, I had to really learn how to like move my body and how to like get my exercise fixed in a way in like a more gentle and a less is more type of way. And I found that I was still reaping the same benefits. So I was like, if this works for me, I'm sure this can work for many other moms. It's not about doing more. It's not about like exercise longer and pushing really hard. It's not about like go, go, go all the time. It's about like anything else. It's about doing things smarter. And so that was really like the foundation and the philosophy of my fitness coaching program. And yeah, I mean, busy mom especially loved it because I really was standing behind like, you know what, do at least 10 minutes, 3 times a week. If you can do a little more, do 20 minutes, right? But you don't really need to do hour long workouts, 5 days a week to get the benefits of exercise. So yeah, I think I was an example of it. And then I was also able to help many other women like fit exercise back into their busy routines. And, you know, many of them, you know, losing that extra weight that they had been wanting to lose after having kids. And many of them like overall, like just having that like healthy routine a few days a week again, where they were moving their bodies and feeling strong, feeling like you know, they actually had the energy to play with their kids and all those great, all the other extra benefits that you get from exercising. That's not just about like losing weight.
Amazing. Yeah. So you had, I'm sorry to hear you had that tough, that challenging health scare, but you know, it helped you to shift perspective, right? I think a lot of moms, well, a lot of women before having kids, yeah, we do have more time to dedicate to ourselves, to going to the gym. And I myself was shocked at how little time I had to exercise or move my body during the, you know, first year or two of breastfeeding and frequent wakings and being exhausted. So yeah, I had to totally shift my perspective and be happy with 5-10 minutes here or there. And it sounds like your strategies give women ways to fit it into, you know, the little break that they might have when their child is napping before they have lunch, or maybe they have a short break between meetings, between Zoom meetings, and they can move their body for 5 or 10 minutes. Because I know so many women think like, if I have to do all or nothing, right? I have to go, yeah, spend the hour at the gym. If I can't do that, forget it. But I like to call it like those exercise snacks. And that sounds like that's your philosophy. So it's so valuable, yeah, to bring that experience and make it fit in. And then for you, looking at, just before we dive into the questions a little bit more, and then what motivated you to become a podcast host and then help women start podcasts? Because I'm sure some of our listeners might have an idea for a podcast. And I'm just curious about your journey there. How did yours come into fruition?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I feel like what can happen sometimes when you become an entrepreneur is you have an idea and you launch it, you start a business, and then it doesn't go the way you wanted to. So then you quit, right? Or you can look at it like, okay, I launched this idea, I launched this business, but now what else is out there? Like, what, like, is this what I want to take to the next level, or is there something else? And for me, it was the latter. So I got to a point where I was like, okay, my, you know, this business is growing, it's going well, but I was feeling really, really exhausted. And I wasn't working many hours in my business. I was trying to have my second child at this point. But I was just like, I had so much going on. I had a lot of mental drama. And I really came to a point where I was like, I love fitness. I love what I'm doing. I love helping women with this, but it's like, it's not, I feel like it's not really all that aligned with me. And I still am in this business coaching container. I just started listening more to like what the entrepreneurs in the group were asking, like what were the things that they were struggling with. So I was like, a lot of these women are doing launches or running workshops, and they're either at the point where they have team, or they're looking to hire their first couple of team members, but either they're struggling because their team doesn't really know, the team can't like read their minds, and the team can't execute the way they want things executed. And I was like, what if I create something where I, using all the knowledge that I have from running my own business, and then now having access to all the knowledge that I'm learning in this business coach, high-end business coaching group, what if I can fill that gap for these entrepreneurs? So before I actually started offering podcast launching and podcast management services, I was helping entrepreneurs with their live launches. So I was managing like the back ends, and I was pretty much, you know, telling them like, okay, who are your hot leads? Like, who do you need to be following up with? So from doing that, I sort of created this role where I was an intrapreneur. So kind of work like an entrepreneur working inside of entrepreneurs' businesses. And, that kind of like translated into me becoming a podcast producer. So I launched my podcast 1.5 years ago, and never, first of all, if you had asked me like 2 years ago, Julia, would you ever create your own podcast? I would have been like, no, because I don't really love the way, you know, I'm one of those people, like, I don't really like to listen to myself. And I'm more of an introvert. But then I was like, you know what? Live streams, feel like more of an energy suck. And then recording a podcast is actually better for me because I don't have to worry about how I look. And really, I don't really need to listen to myself. I mean, yeah, I need to, when I edit my episodes, I need to listen, but I don't need to, you know, and I can always make edits if I don't like the way something sounds. So I kind of talked myself into it and got help launching my podcast and didn't think of it as a business. You know, this was still when I was focusing mainly on fitness coaching. And so now, you know, going back to now my new business being an intrapreneur, I decided, okay, the live launching, I love helping people with live launches, but this is not quite it. So then I'm like, I have a podcast. I love my podcast. And I understand how a podcast can help nurture listeners, have listeners get to know you. Because when people come to a podcast, they already are interested in the topic that you're talking about. So it's not like you need to get their attention. Like on social media, you're competing with so many other different things. But in a podcast, people are like, you're in their ears. So they're listening to you. They might be driving, they might be cleaning, they might be doing like whatever, but it's still like you and them. So I'm like, I love that. That really resonates with me. I'm a very like relationship marketing, like very relational type person rather than like go out and get like thousands and thousands of leads type person. So it resonated with me in that way. And I'm like, I'm already doing it. So I'm already walking the walk and I can model for people what they can be doing. And so, yeah, so I kind of pretty much right now I have one client that I help with launches and then everything else right now, like all I talk about is podcasts, which I think is also important. And Dr. Lisa, you as an entrepreneur, you kind of understand the whole concept of niching, yes, right? Like picking one niche. So I was like, okay, this is what I want to go all in with. It's a very, like I said, a very like natural and organic marketing method that resonates with me. And it's something that I feel is really valuable, especially for people who are looking to sell premium programs, premium products. It's a way for people to like put content for their people. And then when you have something that you want to offer them, they're like, oh, well, I've been listening to Dr. Lisa for weeks now, and she's been giving so much value. And then now she has a free masterclass. All right, I'll sign up for that masterclass. And then, you know, this person attends your masterclass, he or she will be so much more likely to sign up for that program because she's already been listening to you for weeks and weeks, right? So that's why I love podcasting and I see it as so, so important as a marketing tool to have, especially for entrepreneurial women who have programs. However, and here's the thing that a lot of people don't think about, but you can also actually have private podcasts.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah. So this is something that I'm like diving into just now. So I'm still learning about it, but it's really cool because actually somebody approached me and was like, would you be able to maybe help me with this? And I'm like, yes, I think so. But corporations can use a private podcast for their employees. So basically you can put your training programs, and actually this is also good for entrepreneurs who have team. So you can put your training programs on a private podcast. So that way you're making it more convenient for the person to consume that content. Because what happens with like corporate, you know, corporate businesses is they have so much, and then, you know, they kind of expect, for example, new employees to come in and like consume everything and go through all these different things. But like, if they have a private podcast, everything can be like cataloged in a very organized way. And again, they can listen to it while they're driving, and it just makes it more simple for them to go through that process. I also know entrepreneurs who use private podcasts for their clients, where they share their course information via private podcast, again, because of a convenience factor where people can just listen to it rather than having to like log into some, you know, the site and it's like, oh, where's my password? But if they have the private podcast downloaded, they can just listen whenever they have a chance. So it's a pretty cool new thing that I don't know how new it is, but it's just not a very popular thing. But I think it's a thing that could be very, very useful for corporate people and for entrepreneurial people as well.
That's true. I actually use, I'm part of Business Networking International, BNI, and they do have their own podcast where it's like, where it's very educational. They're short 10-minute podcasts where you can learn different things about business and networking and referrals and presentations. So I actually do use a personal podcast, but I forgot about that. But that sounds like the podcast world is just opening up doors for so many people. And for our women listeners, we'll share some information at the end of this episode, how you can connect with Julia. If you have that podcast idea, right? Is that a good time to reach out to you, Julia, to get that seed planted and start to grow?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I do complimentary podcast audits where, you know, if somebody has an idea, they're like, you know what, I think I want to do this. What do you think? I'd be happy to shed some light, to give some pointers if possible and help that way.
That's amazing. Well, I love hearing everybody's journey. Everybody's is different. And it sounds like you were just open to what was needed from the people that were around you at various times in your life. So I love that. So we'll get back to talking more about fitness and self-care right now. And you mentioned, less is more. And you noticed that with your workouts after having your first child. So can you explain a little bit more? Because a lot of people still have that philosophy we were talking about. You have to push it harder and harder, longer and longer to get the benefits. So what does that look like? How do we make less is more work in our life and not just doing more as the answer?
Yes. So one of the biggest things that I see with women is they think that if they do more cardio, then that's better because then the weight will just fall off. But, you know, and I don't know if I need to go into all the science of everything, but, what I find most effective and what is typically recommended by people who are, you know, exercise professionals and all that is that cardio is good, right? But strength training is actually so much more efficient in fat loss, right? Because usually when people say I want to lose weight, what they really mean is they want less body fat. So they can fit into clothes better. So what I really recommend is focusing on strength training. And then cardio is more of like that. It's more like a bonus. It's more of like something that complements what you're doing with your strength training. And then definitely a lot of mobility and stretching. That's one of the things that I feel like most exercise programs don't really include. And especially for women in their late 30s, their 40s or 50s. It's a time where we really need to focus on stretching and focus on our mobility. And especially for women who are at their desks a lot, you know, it can become detrimental when you're older and you have zero mobility, when you have trouble getting up from a chair. So it's not really like, yes, it's great if you can get into great shape and, you know, fit into those jeans that you've been wanting to fit. But I like to think of it more as like longevity. Like, what are the benefits of like creating an exercise routine that works for you? Not like what you see everybody else doing, but something that works for you, something that you can stick to, and something that's just going to be like overall beneficial in so many ways.
Definitely. Yeah. Cause as we age and, you know, when we're in our 40s before our hormones take the, you know, huge decline or plummet, we have the opportunity to build more muscle mass, right? It's harder the older we get. We have what's called sarcopenia or muscle wasting. It sounds scary, but it's a natural outcome of aging. But like you're saying, yeah, that strength training is so key sooner rather than later. So build it up so you have it as you get older and have that stability, mobility, balance, et cetera. In terms of like keeping people exercising and like having a program, so you mentioned the combination of strength training as the foundation, having some cardio in there, and definitely the stretching. What's kind of like, is there a minimum frequency? Is there a certain number of times a week, or how do you like rotate body parts? Do you have to pump like huge amounts of iron? Can you talk a little bit more about what that would look like?
Yeah. So when I was running my program, what we did was full body workouts. We had three workouts a day, and then we had a day for mobility or yoga. So it was four workouts per week, pretty much. And everything was 20 minutes, sometimes a little bit more, but never over 30 minutes. It was like an average of 20. And I always said, okay, try to do at least 10, even if like something happens, we can all kind of squeeze in 10 minutes. So, So they were mostly full body. So I feel like when you break up the body parts, that kind of like, if you miss a day, then it's like, oh, you missed leg day, right? So then you have to like catch up again the next week. But if you just do full body whenever you can, like whenever you're exercising, then you can kind of check that off, right? It's like, okay, you got your full body. We would have one day where we focused on core though. So that was important also. And I always said, whatever moves we do in this one core workout, pick two and then add those on a couple other times, because doing core workout just once a week, you know, you're not really going to get the most out of it. If they could, you know, if we had like five different moves that we did in that core movement, pick two and then do those again on different days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds like a good way to do it. And yeah, even if it's 10 minutes, three times a week, 20 minutes, three times a week, throw in that stretching, that core. What are some of your favorite full body movements and core exercises? I know it's kind of hard to explain over the over a podcast, but yeah. You know, is this like push-up, plank, lunges? Like what does that look like?
Let's see. My favorite full body workouts, I would say I love doing things like I love burpees. And I know a lot of people are like, we hate burpees. No. Like I feel like it's such a great, like it just gets my heart pumping after like two.
Yeah.
So I feel like you don't need many, and you will feel it. And I'm also petite, so I feel like I don't have to fall. I don't need to like, you know, for somebody who's taller, there's a lot more involved, a lot of more up and down movement involved. But for me, it's like, okay, I'm close to the ground already.
Right.
So, and then I love things like box jumps. So I guess like jumping movements are my favorite.
That really gets the heart rate going, right?
Yeah. And then for core, I love doing leg lifts. So, you know, the move where you like lay on your back on the ground, and then you lift your legs like straight up in the air. You can kind of lift your glutes off the ground as well. I would say also, I think also like rotating movements are good. Mm-hmm. So like Russian twists are another one that I like to throw into my routine.
Nice. So this sounds like really good. Burpees aren't my favorite, but I do them sometimes. And I find I really need to stretch after a workout just to get my heart rate down, to calm that nervous system response, that cortisol response. So I really love like a little bit of stretching after. So those are some amazing tips. And I know so many women, you know, they start on an exercise program, they're gung-ho, they're motivated, but yeah, it's too much time. You know, it's not something they're enjoying. What's a good way to get women to be more consistent and kind of stick with a routine and stick with movement? It doesn't necessarily have to be rigid, but not going off track after a few months.
Right. The best thing that works for most people is just like scheduling it. Because if you have something on your calendar, just like if I had a phone call with Dr. Lisa at, you know, 3 p.m. on Mondays, probably not going to just not show up, right? Like that would be kind of rude. So if you have a workout and, you know, you block 30 minutes, you know, 15, 30 minutes, whatever it is that you can do on your calendar a few days a week, you're more likely to do it than if you just say, oh, I'm going to work out whenever I can today. Then if something happens, it's not going to happen, right? But if you have, at least if you have it written down, the chances of you wanting to check it off are higher. Definitely. So yeah, put it on the calendar and then try to stick with it.
That's a good tip. Yeah, I find I have to do it. Well, I do better and I enjoy doing it first thing in the morning. If I can't for some reason, I'll work at fitting it in right before lunch, even if it's a 5-10 minute workout if I have less time. But yeah, I love the morning workouts. I know that's not for everybody. And then what about when we go on vacation or we go to the cottage, we go camping? How do we still keep in our movement?
Yeah, well, one of the I always say, like, keep things simple. And especially when you're like, or going on vacation, which is supposed to be something enjoyable, right? So like, try not to stress out about like, oh, well, I don't know if there's a gym nearby or the hotel, like whatever, right? So make movement a part of your vacation if you can. So if you're, you know, if you're going to the cottage, go on walks, go on hikes. If you're going to the beach, maybe you can do a little outdoor workout, you know, while you're, you know, your partner, if you have a partner, you know, is minding the kids, you can take 10 minutes to yourself to do a little something, right? So it doesn't have to be the same as it normally does. It's okay for it to be a little bit different. But the key really is to just try to keep that consistency and just being okay. Also, there's times when like you won't be able to, and that's okay too. That's the beauty of you having a consistent routine before going on vacation, so that it's okay if you have to, you know, have a week off, knowing that when you get back home, you're going to get right back into it.
Mm-hmm. That's some really good tips there. So yeah, give yourself some grace, but if you can, yeah, with traveling, book, like schedule, rent a bike and go for a bike ride or go for a nice hike around the city or the cottage or the forest or get the kids involved, right? And jump rope with them or run around the park with them.
So yes,
I love that. I love
totally.
That. And then I know one of your podcasts, the title caught my attention and I loved it. It was "Not Doing This Will Lead to Burnout." So do you want to share that with our listeners? It's a very catchy title.
Well, hint, this is how I help some of my podcast clients, you know, write their content to make it intriguing like that. So it's a little taste of how I like to write podcast content. But what I meant in that episode was really that we think, our brains try to tell us like, oh, you know, you need to do these types of workouts for things to be efficient for you, or they need to be this long, they need to include this, need to include that. And it's like, yeah, okay, some of that could be true, right? But the most important thing, and the most important thing that's going to help you stay consistent and keep doing what you're doing and keep seeing results is having fun with it. And it's like, duh, right? But I feel like it's not something that it's not like the first thing we tell ourselves. And it's like, find what you love. And it's like, if you don't like burpees, don't do them, right? But do the things that you enjoy. If you don't like running, don't run, but maybe walk or, you know, ride a bike, find something else that you enjoy and that you will be able to stick with.
Mm-hmm. That's so key, right? It's find something that you're going to be excited about. You're going to want to do. It's going to fill your cup up, not like drain you or that you're going to dread doing. Yeah. So I think we forget that a lot of times. We live in a culture where it's like, it has to be hard, right? We have to work hard. We have to push. We might not enjoy it. But I think as we get older, we realize, you know, time is limited. Why not just make as many things as we can fun and enjoyable. So I love that tip. That's so Absolutely. Important for the women out there to hear. So it could be belly dancing, hula hooping, right? Rock climbing, swimming. Like, there's so many possibilities. So
yeah,
just pick something that you're going to enjoy and look forward to. Definitely. Yes. And then in terms of like, so sticking with a program, so you said, yes, schedule it in. Do you find that if people have kind of an end goal, does that make a difference or does that sometimes become an issue? Like, cause then they get focused on numbers, whether it's lifting a certain weight or losing a certain number of pounds or whatever their goal is. Do you find that can be motivating for people?
I think it can be. I think it depends on the personality of the person. So I had a couple of clients that I helped train for 5Ks And for them, it helped to have those like goalposts that they were working towards. And I just felt like it made the experience and made the like commitment level, even like more, like even better, because they had that goal, right? Like they were like, okay, I want to be able to run. Like I had one client who was, I think when we were working together, she was like in her mid 50s and she really just wanted to do her first 5K and do it in under an hour. And she was so happy when she did it in like under 45 minutes. Like she was so happy. And I thought that was great because she gave herself a reasonable goal and she knew that she definitely didn't want to go over an hour. So that kept her motivated to like keep training, to keep, you know, keep tracking her time every time she did a training run. And yeah, and then she was just really like so happy when she was able to beat that goal. So I think it definitely can help. I know for me too, I'm actually a runner as well. I haven't been running. I'm trying to get back into a running routine now after I had my daughter. I did one marathon last spring.
Congratulations. And then,
thank you. Yeah. And then I just like that marathon was really helpful because during COVID, I just needed something because I felt like it was the four of us in our house never going anywhere. And I'm like, I need to get out of the house. So training for a marathon helped me get out of the house. But then after I did the marathon, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like it's almost like a part-time job. I mean, I love running, but training constantly is a little bit, especially at this point in my life, I'm like, I don't really need to be doing that. but yeah, so now I'm trying to get back into a routine. I'm like, okay, I'm not putting a marathon on my calendar this year. I'm just going to like try to do a 5K at some point, maybe do a half marathon later in the year. And that really helps me personally to be consistent with running, even though, you know, I would say that I'm a pretty, you know, I have pretty good habits and I'm a pretty committed person. I can definitely sometimes be like, you know, there's other things I could be doing instead of going for a run.
Yeah. Those are long runs. So we're not talking like 20, 30 minutes here.
Yeah. Yes. So,
well, good for you for doing it and then recognizing, okay, that's not enjoyable to you right now. So you're shifting and doing the things that you do enjoy. And I find, yeah, that accountability can be useful, right? So it might be to run that marathon or that 5K. And now there's so many great online kind of charities and challenges where it's like you're logging what you're doing and you're being accountable to a group. So some people really love that too, or people have, you know, the Peloton app, they have like the goal for a certain number of rides or classes. So those can all be useful tips as well. And then shifting just back to the podcast support that you help, what sort of podcasts have you helped people launch just to give women an idea, like, you know, if they know they want to start one, but they're not quite sure what to talk about. Like it pretty much could be about anything, right? Like what are some of the topics that you've supported women launch?
Yeah. So I've helped people with different industries and I actually really love helping people in any self-development field. But I helped someone who was in the DEI industry. She's a, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusivity. I think that's what it stands for. Drawing a blank, but I helped her actually relaunch her podcast. She had launched it last year and then she went through the whole, you know, launch a podcast, have a couple episodes, and then stop recording. So I helped her relaunch her podcast, put her message out there, kind of a plan around how her podcast is going to help her close sales and things like that. And then like right now I'm talking to someone who is she used to be a holistic nurse, naturopathic nurse. And she actually also does some business coaching. So we are talking about actually doing a lot of work together. She's going to be bringing me on as a coach, as a marketing coach for her clients in that program. But her podcast is, we're talking about launching that first. So it's very exciting. But yeah, so different fields. It's not really like the, I would say the niche. Like there was a somebody who like had, she launched a travel podcast that I helped. Cool. So it's not really about like the specific niche. It's more about like the end goal. Like I wouldn't help someone. I wouldn't be a right fit for somebody who wants to do a podcast as a hobby and who wants to like get sponsors. Mm-hmm. So that's not my zone of genius. I'm more someone who can help someone craft a message that helps them nurture people, nurture leads who would be a great fit for their programs. And that's also another thing is like when you do your marketing as a business owner, if you market on social media, and there's nothing wrong with marketing on social media, that's definitely not my point here. But what can happen there is that you attract leads. So let's just say that someone has like a free offer, right? So that's something that someone can download for free. You really have like you don't have a lot of control as to who those people are, right? Like you just bring people on and they join your Facebook group, they join your email list, and then yeah, they could become a client, but you don't really know if they are going to be an ideal client. With a podcast, what I see is that you have a little bit more of a little bit more control over who you are nurturing, right? Because you are putting message out. And if people are listening to your message and they're resonating, the chances that they're like dream, like soulmate clients, it's so much higher.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, looking at what are you using it for? It sounds like with that travel podcast, maybe it was a travel agent or someone who wanted to get clients to support maybe for tours and then having the podcast about that. So that's where you would come in. So anyone out there that needs leads or more followers or to build their email list, then that's something you could help start a podcast for.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, I love that. Anything else that you wanted to share about, you know, sticking to a movement and self-care routine before we move on to the next part of the podcast?
I think just looking at it from a place of self-love than something that you have to do, something that, you know, you have to do this because if you don't do it, then you're going to gain weight and, you know, thinking of all like the negatives, but coming from it from a perspective of moving my body, whatever that is, whatever it is that I enjoy doing is going to allow me to have so much energy. It's going to like, you know, make me stronger. It's going to help me sleep better. It's going to improve my overall health. And it's going to give me that like confidence to be able to go after the things that I want, right? Because I feel like that's the one thing that used to notice with my clients is that once they started getting results, then it was like a ripple effect on other areas of their lives when they were like showing up more confidently at work, having better relationships with their kids, because now they were teaching their kids, you know, healthier habits. And, you know, that was like amazing. Or even with their spouses, right? Because all of a sudden they were like, hey, you know what? I feel really attractive again. And now I want to go on dates with my husband and, you know, wear cute things. So there's such a ripple effect that can come from coming from that self-love, that like very empowered self-care state that fitness and wellness can give us.
I love that. Yeah. I loved how you brought up too, how, you know, people exercise so they can keep up with their kids or play with their kids or, mm-hmm. you know, stay healthy for them, but then also for all those reasons for themselves, I think is important to remember and not fixate on the things that sometimes, you know, we tend to focus on that aren't the main outcome. So all the mood support is key, helping you sleep. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And then how can people follow you, connect with you?
Yeah, it's very simple. You can find my Facebook page, which if you search for Julia & Co., Julia Hickman & Co., you should be able to find my Facebook page, or you could simply find my personal page and send me a friend request. If you search for Julia Hickman, you'll be able to find me.
Great. So we'll put that in the show notes. So, and now we'll move to the next part of the podcast. So we'll share our super mom moment, our mama mess up, and our mama must have. So I can go first if you want, Julia.
Great. Okay.
So my super mom moment, you know, Stuart's now, I guess, about just over five and a half, and we're trying new strategies. So we kind of got stuck in our ways in terms of what to do when there's a transition, right? To help them get out of the door, out the door in the morning for bedtime. And then it wasn't working. And we kept trying and trying. And we're like, this isn't working. So we brought back in some old strategies we were using by using this special timer, giving him plenty of warning, giving him some control, like saying, okay, do you want 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Of course, you know, the 10 minutes would be the maximum time we have before we'd have to leave, but giving him that sense of control. Of course, he's going to pick the longer time to, you know, watch 10 more minutes of TV. But I find just shifting our strategies, right? And trying new things, and at different ages, different things work. So that's my super mom moment. And Julia, what's your super mom moment?
Yeah. Before I give mine, I love that of like giving them an option of 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Because I feel like you're sort of giving them that power that I feel like at that age, they crave it. My son is very, like, he's six, so very yes. similar age. And we go through similar things. So I totally understand nice. That. I'm going to use that one.
Great.
I would say one of my recent mama wins is when I noticed that he does something kind for somebody else. Like the other day, he brought back a little note from the teacher, and it was like a fake little certificate that said that Frankie had helped a little girl in class that was having trouble. She felt upset about something, and Frankie, you know, asked her if he could help her, and he made her feel, he told her she could sit next to him and all this. And that Aww. Was just really like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. And I feel like it's something that we try to model it for him, and we try to talk to him about like kindness and helping others, especially when you notice that they're maybe struggling. So it was really nice to see that, you know, he actually listened and, you know, implemented. So that was a moment.
That's adorable. So yeah, it's nice to see, you know, some of the teachings we're trying to pass on come right. to fruition and get that recognition. So that's definitely a super mom moment. So thanks for sharing. And then I'll go to my mama mess up. So this one, well, we got a basketball for Stuart, and he's loving playing basketball. We have a net set up in our, just at our shed, basically in the backyard. So I brought his basketball to school the other day so we could play with the actual real basketball net, and we had a blast. But on the way home, I didn't take the ball from him. So he was bouncing the ball on the sidewalk, me not realizing the ball's probably going to go into the road. And lo and behold, it did. And he ran after it. This was luckily a smaller road. So it wasn't like there was stop signs. It wasn't like a highway or anything, but I had to yell because there was a car coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I gave him the basketball to walk home with. So now I still bring the basketball, but I put it in a bag and I carry it home. And we've taught him not to run on the road, but he just wanted that ball. So he, you know, didn't think of anything else. So that was a little bit of a scary moment and a mama mess up, but he was okay.
I could talk of a few mama mess up moments because I'm definitely not, as most of us are not, right? But I'm not a perfect mom. And we had a similar thing happen. I think this was when I was still pregnant with my daughter. He ran to the street as well. My husband, we were all at a park right down the street. A little like baseball type of park. And I was walking ahead and he was walking behind with my husband, and he was in a little, one of those cars that they could drive on their own, you know, those little, you know, electric cars, whatever they are. And then he got out of the car and my husband like knelt down to try to, I don't know, look at something. I don't know, something inside the car. So while my husband was looking down, my son Frankie started running behind me. I didn't see him. I didn't hear him. And so he ran on the street pretty much by himself. And apparently there was a car that was driving, and the woman pulled over to like check to make sure that he was okay. And like, where are his parents?
Oh, no.
And my husband was like, oh gosh, like I'm right here, you know? So yeah, very similar, scary mama,
yeah, it happens,
mama mess up moment.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad he was okay. So yeah, we learn as we go, right? So,
but yeah, we were just like, okay, you can never, ever, ever please go on the road without a grown up right by your side.
Definitely. I hear you. Yeah, it's pretty scary, but I'm glad. Yeah, he was okay. And then we'll move to our mama must-haves. So mine is, I don't think I've talked about these before, but they're called midday squares. I'm not sure if you have them in the States, but you buy them from the health food store. They're in the refrigerator section. And this one is like peanut butter. They call it B-U-T-T-A, but it's got like a coating of dark chocolate on top and it has a good amount of protein. It comes in a package with two squares and one square is great for, you know, after lunch or an afternoon, part of your afternoon snack. If you just want something a little bit sweet, but each square has, I think it's about 6 grams of protein, less sugar than protein, which is always good to look for. And it's really good, natural, healthier ingredients than, you know, if you're craving a chocolate bar or something. So the midday squares, the peanut butter flavor. So I don't know if you have them there, but
I've never heard of that.
I'll check online maybe. I know they're definitely in Canada, but yeah. And what's your mama must have, Julia?
That is a very good question. So
it could be like either a food, a drink, a tech tool, one of your exercise things that you love, or exercise equipment or app or anything. Yeah. Body care product.
I could give so many. So I'm trying to think of like one thing that would be really good.
Yeah, it's tricky to pick. We do one every week. So I have like a huge list. Yeah.
Okay, since we talked a lot about exercise, I would say one of the must-have things that I think everyone should have, and actually I still work with one personal training client, by the way, so I'm still in very much in the industry paying attention. And this client, she's awesome. She is in her late 60s and I see her 5 times a week, guys. So
great.
And those 5 times we do walks, we do like a little bit of everything. And one of the things that we love using is the mini bands. So the mini bands are great because, you know, we don't need to always do weights, which, you know, sometimes the body just can't handle the weights, especially if you're very sore, but you can still get like a very good workout and it's easy to bring along if you're going on vacation, if you're, you know, going somewhere overnight, just pack your little mini bands and you have something to give you a little added resistance.
Amazing. I've got the mini bands fairly recently on it. It's a great addition to my workout and really gets those glutes burning.
Yeah. When you do like kickbacks with them and.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm surprised you can use it. You can use it for your abs. There's different exercises for your arms. So you can use it whole body. So I love it. Thanks for sharing. And Julia, thank you so much for coming on. You shared such valuable information and we'll share all of your details in our show notes and we'll have to get you back on another time. Possibly we could deep dive more into starting your own podcast and what that would look like, or, you know, you're a wealth of information on, you know, fitness and helping people keep healthy and stick to routine. So thank you so much. And I'll share what Tony and I have going on. So Dr. Tony's next hypnobirthing info session for expectant parents is coming up. It helps parents look to trust their instincts and their body during labor and birth. So you can check out when it is at www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com/register. And if you want to get on my Wild Collective wait list, I'm also going to be launching a group called Wild Women Adventures, where once a month we're going to actually go out and do something adventurous, as the name implies. So this would be for people in the GTA area, but you can go to www.wildcollectivetoronto.com to get on my wait list for my next Wild Collective group, and then also get information on the Wild Women Adventures. So thank you everybody for joining us today. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe and leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everybody. Until next time.